Before we get into our presentations and a review of our financial results, we have disclosures to make regarding forward-looking statements and our use of non-GAAP financial measures. The first slide discloses that our presentations include forward-looking statements in accordance with the rules of the Securities Exchange Commission, and they may contain our current expectation of future events. The second slide points out that some of the performance metrics we discuss are not determined in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP, but they're commonly used in our industry, and we believe they can provide relevant and useful information regarding our company's performance. 2015 was another great year for Shenandoah Telecommunications. The positive momentum, which started a few years ago, continued and allowed us to reach new records for financial performance. Our strong performance has us well positioned for our acquisition of Intellos and the significant expansion of our company. Here are a couple financial highlights for 2015. Revenues for the year were $342.5 million, an increase of $15.5 million, or 4.8% over 2014. Revenue growth outpaced the $3.4 million increase in operating expenses, resulting in a $12.1 million, or 19.6% increase in operating income, primarily due to the improved performance of our cable segment. Net income for the year was $40.9 million, an increase of 20.6% over 2014. As you know, the Board of Directors declared a two-for-one stock split, which was effective for shareholders of record as of December 31, 2015. The two-for-one stock split resulted in shareholders receiving one additional share for every one share held on the record date. As a result of the Board's action, at year-end, the company had approximately 48.5 million shares outstanding out of an authorized total of 96 million. After giving effect to the split, fully diluted earnings per share for 2015 were 83 cents, an increase of 13 cents, or 18.6% over the prior year. To give you a longer-term perspective, over the past 5 years, our diluted earnings per share have grown at a very solid compound annual growth rate of almost 17%. The Board of Directors declared a cash dividend of 48 cents per share, which is 24 cents per share after the stock split. This was a 2.1% increase over the dividend paid in 2014 and represents the 56th year of continuous dividend payments since the company paid its first dividend in 1960. We ended the year with an exceedingly strong balance sheet. Total assets were almost $629 million, and total debt was just over $201 million, which gives a debt-to-assets ratio of 32%. Both sides of our balance sheet will increase significantly once the Intellos acquisition closes, and Adele will give you a better perspective of that during her remarks. All three of our operating segments, wireless, wireline, and cable, improved their operating performance in 2015, and each contributed to our record financial results. All three segments posted increases in operating income, with our cable segment providing the largest improvement of $10.6 million and also achieving positive operating income. The improvement in our cable segment's performance resulted from growth in our customer base, customers selecting higher speed data packages, and achieving economies of scale from our past investments. We continue to experience an expected decline in video subscribers, but this loss was more than offset by increases in data and voice customers. With over 60% of what we collect from customers going for programming content, video is a lower margin service than both data and voice. And the contribution from the increase in the number of those higher margin services more than offset the decline of lower-margin video customers. Battles with programmers continued in 2015 for Shentel and other video distributors. After months of attempting to reach an acceptable agreement with AMC, the the network refused to allow us to continue carrying their programs. We had agreed to pay reasonable rate increases, but AMC demanded much more in huge annual increases and requirements to carry and pay for additional channels that would be of little interest to our customers. Agreeing to carry such channels would have required us to make use of our valuable network capacity, which would limit our ability to offer internet services. After AMC pulled its programming, we lost a few hundred video customers, but most of those customers continue to purchase broadband and phone from Shentel. Unfortunately, customers lose out when programmers make unreasonable and unacceptable demands. We continue to work for changes in the current rules regarding these programming disputes. We still support efforts in Congress to mandate video choice, which would let customers receive and pay for only the channels they want. Our wireline segment also experienced improved financial results during 2015, with growth in revenue from fiber network leases more than offsetting the continued decline of revenue from traditional local telephone access lines. During the year, our sales team signed new fiber leases worth a total contract value of $22 million, a 10% increase over the prior year, and helping grow lease revenues recorded in 2015 to $35.6 million. In addition to providing a source of revenues and profits, our almost 4,600 route miles of fiber serve as the backbone of both our cable and wireless networks, helping us operate both more economically and with a high degree of reliability. We built a new fiber route in southern Pennsylvania and are now building a new route along Interstate 81 in Virginia from Harrisonburg to Roanoke. We also continue to build fiber to tower sites as we expand and enhance this valuable asset. Operating results in wireless, our largest segment, set new records during 2015. We had solid growth of 8.6% in the number of postpaid customers, and in the fourth quarter of 2015, set a new record with the addition of almost 9,000 postpaid customers, an increase of 84% from the prior year's fourth quarter. We had a slight decline in our smaller prepaid customer base, but ended the year with a total of over 455,000 wireless customers. Sprint made significant improvements in their network, enhancing the experience of our customers who travel to Sprint's metropolitan areas. We also benefited from Sprint's more aggressive marketing efforts following their network improvements. Great results in our wireless segment provide a solid foundation for our acquisition of Intelos and expansion of our relationship with Sprint. This acquisition will be a very significant expansion of our wireless business and will truly transform the size and scale of our company. Since the August 2015 announcement, we've made good progress towards closing of the acquisition. We've received necessary approvals from all government entities, with the last approval from the Federal Communications Commission coming in just last Friday. We have in place the debt facility needed to finance the purchase and fund our planned capital expenditures. Planning for the integration has gone well. We've made offers to approximately 300 employees for permanent positions at Shentel and another 200 employees who will be required for varying lengths of time to assist the transition. Our teams have worked together to ensure a smooth handoff for continuing the upgrades of the Intelos network, and we've identified the best approach for migration of Intelos customers to the Sprint back office and billing systems. At closing, Intelos customers will be able to continue use of their existing phones and price plans and can begin to take advantage of Sprint's 4G capabilities and other improvements we're making to the network. As with past acquisitions and major capital initiatives, we will incur significant one-time costs which will impact short-term financial results. The Intelos acquisition and the investment it will require represent the largest commitment of resources in our company's history. It is a highly attractive strategic acquisition that will significantly enhance our scale and regional service offering, further solidifying Shentel as a premier wireless provider in the Mid-Atlantic region and making us the sixth largest wireless carrier in the United States. Earl will cover the highlights of the transaction when he gives his report later this morning. Much work is still required to make this acquisition a success, but we remain extremely excited about the opportunity. While the challenges are significant, the potential is also great. The announcement of the transaction resulted in a large increase in our stock price, providing a very meaningful enhancement to shareholder value and putting the collective value of Shentel shares over $1 billion. Looking at the entire year, our stock price increased substantially, ending the year at a split-adjusted price of just over $21.50. This was an increase of 37.8% from the prior year close. During the year, it reached a new all-time high closing price, closing at $25.34 in November 2015. And just a couple weeks ago, it set another all-time high when it closed at $27.70 on April 1st. These are great increases in short periods of time, but the longer-term increases are also impressive. As shown on this chart from our Form 10-K filed with Securities and Exchange Commission, our cumulative total shareholder return, assuming reinvestment of dividends, reflects a compound annual rate of increase of 20.4% for the five-year period ending December 31st, 2015. This increase exceeded the comparison indexes for the NASDAQ U.S. and the NASDAQ Telecommunications Index over the same period. Let me give you a longer-term view of our stock performance. Since its founding in 1902, one original share in the Farmers Mutual telephone system of Shenandoah County is now represented by 17,280 shares of Shenandoah Telecommunications Company. This chart shows the past 20 years for both the split-adjusted share price on the left-side scale and the end-of-period value on the right side of what the one original Farmers Mutual share has become. 20 years ago, the one original mutual share had evolved into 1,440 shares of Shenandoah Telecommunications, and the stock was trading for about $19 at the end of '97, for a total value of just over $27,000. With subsequent splits and increases in our stock price, the one original share is now 17,280 shares of Shentel, and at a recent price of $26.50 per share, they represent a total investment value of over $450,000. This chart also shows that our stock price doesn't always go up, as you can see the decline from 2008 to 2011. You'll recall that this was the period we chose to continue investing for the future during a time the country was in a bad economic downturn. These investments have certainly paid off, and we were well positioned to handle the subsequent growth in demand for our services and reap the benefits of improving financial performance, which was then reflected in a growing stock price. Big acquisitions and increasing stock prices make for good headlines, but long-term success comes from our ability to continue providing quality services and real value to customers. We have met the challenges of the past and are well poised to meet those of the future. Our focus has always been on making the best decisions for the long-term benefit of our shareholders, and that will continue to be a guiding principle for setting our long-term strategic direction and in making our day-to-day business decisions. I appreciate the support shown by our shareholders as we work to increase the long-term value of your investment, and I'm confident in the ability of your board of directors, our management team, and our employees to continue to do so. I'll now ask Adele to recap our financial results for 2015 and touch on some of the ways our financial will look very different in 2016. Earl will then review our operational results and provide more details on the Intellos acquisition.
Good morning. Thank you, Chris. Chris gave you the highlights of our outstanding 2015 financial performance. I'll walk you through the components of our income statement to highlight the drivers that led to another successful year, and provide some additional perspective on the expected impact of the Intelos acquisition on our business. This slide shows how the three segments of our business have contributed to the overall growth in revenues in recent years. In orange, you see the wireline segment's revenues. These revenues increased $4.4 million, or 7% over 2014. Carrier access and fiber revenues grew by $3.1 million, as growth in fiber contracts was partially offset by favorable universal service program adjustments that were recorded in the first quarter of 2014. In addition, wireline internet service revenue grew by $1.2 million as customers upgraded to higher speed plans. The blue bars show the wireless segment's revenues. These revenues increased $1.4 million compared to 2014. Net prepaid service revenue increased $4.3 million, primarily due to a 4.5% growth in average prepaid subscribers over 2014. In addition, average revenue per prepaid subscriber grew as a result of the growing popularity of the higher rate Boost Mobile service plans. Net postpaid service revenues decreased $2.7 million, while average postpaid customers grew by 6.7% in 2015, more customers chose to finance or lease their handsets. The lower rates of the service plans associated with handset financing and leasing programs drove the average postpaid billing rates down. However, as you'll see in a moment, this drop in postpaid revenues was more than offset by a drop in the cost of subsidizing handsets. The cable segment's revenues are shown in the yellow bars. Cable segment revenue grew by $13 million, primarily as a result of 5.4% growth in average subscriber counts and an increase in the revenue per subscriber. Internet service revenues alone generated $8.5 million of this growth, driven by a 9.7% increase in average customers and customers choosing higher speed plans with higher monthly recurring charges. Video revenues grew by $4 million. This increase resulted from increasing video rates in order to recover the increased programming fees charged by our video content providers. Voice revenues in the cable segment grew by $1.2 million due to 16.7% growth in average voice customers. This chart depicts the changes in the components of our operating expenses for the last 3 years. In 2014, we just completed the planned investments in fourth generation technology in the wireless segment. This investment and other network improvements we made to offer a robust cable service generated a substantial increase of 8.5% in depreciation costs between 2013 and 2014. Depreciation costs grew by another 7.3% in 2015 as we invested in adding additional data capacity to our network to meet customers' needs. We held selling, general, and administrative, or SG&A, costs in check with just a 2.5% increase in these costs between 2013 and 2014. However, in 2015, these costs rose by nearly $7 million. Half of this increase relates to costs associated with the pending acquisition of Intelos. Increases in costs to support prepaid service revenues drove an additional $1.8 million in the SG&A cost increases in 2015. The cost of goods and services sold increased by 3.7% between 2013 and 2014 to support the growth in the customer base and its growing data needs. In 2015, these costs actually dropped by $8.4 million. As I mentioned earlier, customers are choosing to finance or lease handsets, and as a result, handset subsidies dropped by $10.9 million in 2015. Both the revenues and expenses associated with financing and leasing handsets are Sprint's responsibility. These savings were partially offset by increased costs to support the network in 2015. The net result of all these items is growth in operating income of $12.2 million between 2014 and 2015. The company's focus on long-term results and its strong balance sheet enabled us to make significant investments in fourth-generation wireless technology and in cable plant upgrades, which have allowed us to offer a robust triple play. These investments are now being rewarded with increases in wireless and cable subscribers. The compound annual growth rate in operating income from 2011 to 2015 was over 23%. The growth in operating income of the three segments of our businesses appear here. The cable segment achieved two significant milestones in 2015. In shifting from an operating loss of $10.1 million in 2014 to operating income of $500,000 in 2015, it produced a $10.6 million, or the lion's share of the growth in the company's operating income. The wireless segment contributed another $5.1 million of the growth in operating income. Finally, the wireline segment's operating income grew by $700,000. Here, the loss of telephone and long-distance customers was more than offset by the growth in the enterprise and other commercial customers and growth in demand for high-speed data. You can see our existing businesses are performing exceedingly well. This is a great foundation for the acquisition of Intellos. Let me review some of the important financial aspects of this acquisition. Its impact on the size and scale of this company's operations is significant. On this chart, you see the historical revenue of Shentel and Intellos' revenues for 2015. We have a different business model and different accounting. However, this chart gives you a sense of the significant transformative nature of this acquisition. Transactions of this size and complexity require the services of lawyers, investment bankers, lenders, appraisers, and other professional advisors. In addition, we'll incur severance costs for Intellos employees and early termination fees on the rental and backhaul of redundant cell sites. We'll also incur transitional costs while we continue to employ certain Intellos back office teams until those services are ultimately assumed by Sprint. These non-recurring costs are estimated to be between $130 million and $150 million. As a result, we anticipate a very large operating loss in 2016. While these initial costs, one-time and transitional, will be significant, over time, we expect to realize the long-term returns of this acquisition and greatly increase the company's earnings and cash flow. We're buying the stock of Intellos for $208 million. At closing, we'll also be paying off Intellos' debt. At the end of 2015, the outstanding debt of Intellos, net of the cash Intellos had available to assist with the payoff, was $447 million. Sprint has agreed to assist with the commitments Shentel is undertaking with this acquisition by reducing the fees it would otherwise be payable in the next 5 years or so by $225 million. In addition, Sprint will acquire the outstanding customer accounts receivable, expected to be roughly $57 million. So, net of taxes on these transactions, Sprint will be providing an additional $238 million in payments to offset the acquisition and upgrade costs. After considering these payments, Shentel will be paying $417 million to acquire Intellos, or roughly 4.3 times Intellos' 2015 cash flow of $96 million. This is roughly half the level at which wireless companies are trading today. Because the acquisition is funded exclusively with debt, without any dilution of your ownership in the company's results, the increased value, net of interest costs, will flow to you as our investors. As Chris pointed out, the value of our stock has increased significantly since we announced this transaction. This is an indication that the stock market has anticipated the value that this acquisition adds for our shareholders. As I mentioned, we're funding the transaction with borrowings. 57% of the borrowings will be provided by Farm Credit Banks, with whom we have a long-standing relationship, with the remainder coming from commercial banks. Based on today's variable interest rates, we expect to pay approximately 3.3% interest on these borrowings. The expected rebate or patronage from some farm credit banks brings the net cost of borrowing below 3%. The level of debt at closing is expected to be 2.9 times the earnings as defined in our credit agreement. This is still about 20% less than the average for the telecommunications industry as a whole. I'll turn the podium over to Earl now. Thank you.
Thank you, Adele. Good morning, everyone. As Chris and Adele have shared, your company had a great year. We added 24,645 additional postpaid subscribers in 2015, bringing our total postpaid wireless customers to 312,512. We had the best fourth quarter ever with almost 9,000 net postpaid additions. Due to the large investment that we made back in 2012 and 13, the quality of our network is the best ever. As a result, in 2015, we had historically low churn at 1.47%. Another way we evaluate performance is to look at the number of customers we take from Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile compared to the number that they take from us. In 2015, we took over two customers from these larger competitors for every one that we lost. Here I'm showing the fourth quarter monthly gross billed revenue per user for the past 3 years. At first glance, the numbers look alarming with a drop of $6.25 between 2014 and 2015. This has been a trend throughout the wireless industry, with our monthly billed revenue still among the highest. The primary reason for the decline started in 2013, when the industry began moving away from providing subsidized phones and the customer started paying the full price for a phone. An iPhone that actually cost us $600 or more was being sold to the customer for $199. To recoup the difference, we were charging the customer a higher monthly fee for the service over the two-year contract. With customers paying for his phone, Shentel, along with the rest of the industry, has lowered service pricing. The customer's total bill may not have changed that much, but now it's in two pieces. Before, he was paying $80 for service, which included the phone subsidy. Today, he's paying $25 for the phone and $55 for the service, totaling the same $80. Our profitability has actually improved since we no longer are subsidizing the phones. That's not to say that there's been no price reductions over the past few years. Whenever you have an industry that's approaching full adoption, with virtually everyone having a cell phone, you will see promotions and price reductions to encourage customers to switch. You recall that I just mentioned that we were taking two customers from our competitors for every one that we lost. The price reductions have come in two flavors, either an absolute reduction in price of the service or giving the customer more usage at the same price. We believe that these promotions and price reductions will continue for several more quarters, but expect that data usage will continue to grow and average billed revenue will stop decreasing and will begin to increase. Moving to prepaid, you see that we have lost 2,322 net prepaid subscribers in 2015. Under the surface, we had significant shift from lower revenue Virgin Mobile and Assurance, which is the government subsidized service, to higher revenue Boost brand. The shift resulted in a more profitable prepaid business. The impact of that shift from Virgin Mobile and Assurance to Boost is shown on this slide. You see that the average monthly prepaid billed revenue increased over $2 between the fourth quarter of 2014 and 2015. On an annualized basis, the increase in billed revenue represents over $3.5 million of additional prepaid revenues. We have shown this slide before. Here I'm comparing our wireless results for 2015 with other wireless competitors' national statistics. The comparisons can be misleading. For example, our penetration rate in the Quad State region between Harrisonburg, Virginia, and Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, is almost 35%. We don't have statistics for Verizon and AT&T for the area, but we have a dominant market share. You see that our percentage growth was 5.2% with an overall penetration of 20.5%. Penetration is calculated by taking the number of subscribers divided by the population your network covers. Some of our competitors' growth percentages are misleading since the industry counts a tablet, which generates about $15 a month in service revenue, the same as a phone user that generates about $60 per month. Along with T-Mobile, we were the only other wireless company whose growth in subscribers was due to adding higher revenue phone growth rather than tablets. This is a case of quantity versus quality. Moving to our cable results, we continue to add cable revenue generating units, or RGUs. Each service, video, internet, or voice, is an RGU. We added 4,355 net RGUs in 2015 for a year-end total of over 126,000 RGUs. The number of customers grew by 1,436 to 72,734. So we are being successful at selling multiple services to our customers. We saw a continuation of the industry trend of strong growth in internet and voice, but a loss of video subscribers as customers, particularly younger consumers, are getting their video from other sources such as Netflix and YouTube rather than traditional cable service. Actually, we're okay with this shift. Being a mid-sized cable operator, our video content is very high. We spend over 60% of the revenue we collect from a video customer on content. That doesn't leave much to pay to operate the network, take care of the customer, and to generate a profit. On the flip side, because we control our fiber backbone network and have a phone switch we share with a local phone company, our margins on internet and phone service are very good. This shift of service from video to internet was the primary reason for the cable segment becoming profitable in 2015. On this slide, I'm showing the average monthly revenue per cable customer. Our average customer purchases 1.75 services from Shentel. Between the fourth quarter of 2014 and 15, the average revenue increased $12.36. The increase was primarily due to video price increase we had in January to pass on the increase in programming costs and customers buying larger internet packages. In 2015, we implemented data allowances, or caps, which impact about 5% of our internet customers. These internet customers are using a disproportionate amount of the network capacity, which causes us to make additional capital expenditures. To help fund these expenditures, they are charged for overages for usage over their data plan allowances. Taking a historical perspective, I'm showing the number of homes passed with each service and the percentage of those homes that purchase our cable services for the past 5 years. You clearly see the trend I spoke of earlier with the decrease in video subscribers, but a dramatic increase in both internet and voice users. We now have more voice customers in our cable segment than we have in our regulated telephone company here in the county. On the far right of the slide, is the average penetration of services by service for the 10 cable companies that are most similar in size to our cable operations. You see that we compare very well. You may have seen the announcement early in January that Shentel purchased Colane Cable. Colane is adjacent to our existing cable markets in southern West Virginia. We paid $2.4 million and will spend about $8 million to upgrade the network. Colane's network passes over 8,000 homes, and as of December 31st, Colane had a total of 5,006 RGUs with 3,299 video RGUs, 1,405 internet RGUs, and 302 voice RGUs. These RGUs are not included in our 2015 year-end count. In late 2015, we made some significant changes in our telephone operations here in Shenandoah County. We've been upgrading and testing our cable network and began offering higher speed internet service up to 101 megabits on October 1st. As of year end, 420 customers had signed up for the new cable internet service. At the same time, we no longer require a customer to have a phone line to sign up for DSL or cable modem internet service. The majority of telephone companies, such as Verizon or CenturyLink, still require a voice line or charge a significant premium for internet service without a companion voice service. We think the correct long-term decision is to do neither. So for the year, we lost 1,360 access lines, of which 1,346 were lost in the fourth quarter. Of the 1,346 access lines lost since October, virtually all of them remained internet customers and are likely using their wireless phone for voice service. This slide shows the amount that we have invested in our networks for the past 3 years and our estimate for 2016. As you recall, 2013 was the final year of upgrading our wireless and cable networks, spending $101 million. Over the past 2 years, we had no similar major projects, so capital expenditures were $68 million and $74 million. Looking forward to 2016, we have our largest capital budget in Shentel's history, a total of $218.5 million. 56%, or $122 million, of the planned expenditures are for the Intellos network. Over the next 2 years, we'll invest over $240 million in the Intellos network. The plans call for Shentel to complete the 4G LTE upgrade that Intellos has underway. We'll add more capacity to the sites they've already upgraded, and we'll build more than 200 additional cell sites to improve the coverage and bring the quality of their network on par with our existing network. In 2016, we'll spend approximately $22 million maintaining our existing networks, $24 million on increasing the capacity of our existing networks, $37 million expanding our networks, including a new fiber route between Harrisonburg and Roanoke, Virginia, and $13 million is for success-based projects. We'll only spend those monies if we generate new revenue opportunities, such as new fiber contracts. Before I conclude, I'd like to provide you some additional details on our pending acquisition of Intellos. Detailed planning and preparations have been underway for more than 8 months, and your management team is confident that we are prepared to integrate Intellos into Shentel with a minimal impact on the customers. Chris showed you this map earlier that depicts how our existing network fits nicely with the Intellos service area. Our existing network is the light green at the top. The dark green is where we overlap the Intellos network. We will decommission the duplicate network in this overlap area. And the blue is the additional coverage that we will have by acquiring the Intellos network. I want to highlight the overlap the Intellos network has with our cable properties, shown in orange on the map. Also depicted are the fiber assets we already have in Southern Virginia and West Virginia. Over the next 5 years, as existing contracts for fiber backhaul to the tower expire, we'll be able to share the fiber network and build to hundreds of tower sites, thereby saving approximately $24,000 per year per site in backhaul cost. We're sharing office and warehouse space with the cable operations from day one. As a result of this transaction, we're not only picking up the Intellos customers, but also getting Sprint customers in the blue area. Sprint doesn't have a network and was purchasing capacity off of the Intellos network. Even though Sprint doesn't have a network, they do have 7 stores, employees, and large retailers like Walmart and Best Buy selling Sprint service. This slide gives you an idea of how our new combined, of what our new combined operations will look like. We have 550 cell sites. Intellos has 1,008. Because there are overlapping networks, once we decommission the duplicates, we'll have 1,411 cell sites. The total population in the markets or counties we are authorized to serve is 2.4 million. The similar number for Intellos is 4.4 million. The number of people we actually cover with our network is 2.2 million, or 91%. The current Intellos network is not nearly as dense or extensive, so they cover approximately 3.1 million, or 70% of the authorized population. Since Sprint uses the Intellos network, their population statistics are the same. After combining the two networks and eliminating the overlapping areas, we will have 5.4 million market POPs and 4.3 million covered POPs. As of year end, we had a total of 455,000 subscribers. Intelos had 302,000 and Sprint 278,000 in the Intelos service territory. So upon closing the deal, we'll have over 1 million wireless subscribers, making Shentel the sixth largest wireless company in the United States. Currently, Shentel has approximately 700 employees. We'll hire 60 Sprint employees and 300 Intelos employees for permanent positions, primarily working in the retail stores. Another 200 Intelos employees will work for us up to 20 months on a non-permanent basis to assist in the integration. We'll continue to keep Intelos office space in Waynesboro for the wireless staff, but the majority of the new employees will be located in the 40 new, currently branded and newly branded Sprint stores throughout the new service area. We're very excited about this opportunity. This transaction will create significant shareholder value. For the next 18 months, there'll be lots of one-time expenses and work to upgrade the network, migrate the customers to the Sprint billing system, and to integrate the employees and rebrand the stores. But once these efforts are substantially complete at the end of 2017, we'll be well positioned. We'll have the most extensive coverage and more points of distribution than any of our competitors. That should position Shentel to be able to accelerate the growth and profitability of our wireless segment. Thank you. I'll now turn the podium back over to Chris.
Thank you, Adele and Earl. I hope these reports have given you a good appreciation of how well your company's doing and the significance our acquisition of Intelos holds for our future. There was a lot of hard work and long hours making it happen, and I thank the many members of our management team who made significant contributions working on this deal. I'd also like to give additional thanks to Earl McKenzie, who led this effort. Frankly, I don't think this deal would have happened without Earl. He masterfully negotiated with both Intelos and Sprint, and despite the many frustrating delays and occasional setback, was able to achieve a great outcome for our company. Earl, on behalf of our shareholders, thank you very much.